Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. And again, thank you, Carl, for your testimony, for opening yourself up for us to hear and to learn from that. I want you to open your Bible, if you will, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, if you will. John chapter 4. I strongly suspect that someone who heard this testimony heard it so that he or she could be saved. I strongly suspect that. Possibly it's someone who has had doubts himself or herself about the existence of God or the gospel, or has had doubts about the ability of God to change you. Sometimes we think that we are so deeply into our own thinking and lifestyle and addictions and sins that even God can't change us. But when we think that, we are so thoroughly wrong, because He can. And occasionally God will save someone like Carl, who has committed himself to a certain philosophy of life, and kind of an existential philosophy in his case. And they have committed themselves to it. They feel like they're set in that thought pattern, and they do not feel like they will ever change. They can't be changed, but they're wrong. God can change anyone who is willing to be changed, who will open up and crack the window just a little bit and let Him in. He can change them. That is the great news. Now, the first thing I want you to see, and I have to be concise here today, but the first thing I want you to see is that God has an evangelist for everyone. Someone who can speak your language, who knows how to put it across so that you will understand and so that you will identify with it. It's one of the more frustrating things that we preachers have to deal with. I preach things. I try to preach the Bible from front to back. I try to hit it all at some time or another. And I will say something one Sunday, and then an evangelist or a different preacher will come in the next Sunday, and they will say it in a slightly different way. And someone will come to me and they'll say, "Brother Tom, I never heard that before." And I'll say, "Yes, you did. I said that last week." And they'll say, "Well, I never heard it before." And I just fuss inwardly like crazy. Because I said that last week. I said the very same thing last week. What happened? Well, there is an evangelist for everyone who will say it in such a way that you will get it. Just like there was that friend that Carl had who came to him and had the changed life and would insert certain thoughts into their conversations, and it just kind of pricked Carl's thinking, particularly when it was backed up by this guy's own changed life. There is an evangelist, a messenger for everyone. Now, there is a biblical example of that, and that example is here in John chapter 4. Jesus Himself is the evangelist, and He meets a woman who is commonly called the woman of Samaria, the Samaritan woman. In the story, Jesus talks to this woman who was a member of a hated race of people. Now, you can't imagine how badly the Jewish people hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans to them were a mixed breed race of people, if you'll allow that. They were a mixed breed race of people, and they were partially Jew, partially other races, and they had a deviant religion that was really weird and way out there, based loosely on Judaism, but way, way out there. And they were always at odds with the Jews, and the Jews with them. And the Jews hated them so badly that they wouldn't go through their country. In fact, they would walk all the way around Samaria just to keep from going through it. Now, that's how bad. They wouldn't talk to the Samaritans. They were just a hated race of people. But here's Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, if you will, and he picks a conversation. He starts a conversation with this woman. And guess what happened? She was snippy about it. Now, first of all, I need to ask, Does the word snippy work for you? I mean, you understand that? She was really snippy about it. Jesus asked her for a drink of water. Now, that was very customary in that day. He would have been a gentleman of the day. She would have been a working class woman. It was very. She was drawing water. She already had the water there. And he asked her for a drink of water. Well, she came back, and it wasn't real nice. She came back, and she said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? I am one of those dirty women of Samaria, of that hated race that y'all want to... Why are you asking me?" Now, what was she revealing by that response? She was revealing that she felt looked down upon. That she felt a certain inferiority that came from years and years of rejection. Now, I wonder if I'm talking to someone who feels a little bit looked down upon today. Maybe that's always been a secret thing in you. Is that true? If so, I would not be surprised if you have developed some defense mechanisms. What are those defense mechanisms? One of them may be snippiness. You know, where you've always got a response. So, you're talking to me today, huh? So this, so that. So many of them begin with that word so, right? So, this is the way it is. And we develop these kind of responses that have a little bit of an accusation in them, accusing the other person that we sense is looking down on us. Now, that's interesting. If you feel that way today, you need to study this woman because she has a lesson for you. What was the real issue that was going on here? The real issue was that this woman thought that she was stuck in her life the way it was. Destined to be looked down on, destined to be unchanged. She thought she was stuck. But down below that was something else. Down below that was her own guilt because of her own sin. There was hidden sin in her life. And so why did Jesus deal with that? Well, first of all, He gave her hope. Can I tell you that the great message that we preach today is the good news of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are or where you came from. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past, how checkered your record is. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the old preacher said, you ain't dead yet, are you? If you're not dead yet, then there's hope for you. God can change you, and He can give you victory and joy to put into place of what you've always had, that guilt. But He has to make you see the hidden sin. So the first thing He does is that He gives this woman hope. He says, "Ma'am, if you knew who I was, if you knew who I was," verse 10, He said, "you would have asked me for living water." He said, "I could give you water that would keep you alive forevermore." It's a very symbolic statement. He said, "I can give you spiritual life that will carry you all throughout eternity. I can give it to you." And she said, she was, you know, still in her snippy mood there and just kind of thinking about that. And so she came back with this response, but it wasn't quite as snippy as the first one. She came back with a response, and then Jesus looked at her, and He kind of stuck the knife in. But it wasn't a backstabbing type knife at all. Rather, it was the surgical knife that went straight to her hidden sin. See, a lot of times we despise it because people are looking down on us, or we feel that they are. It bothers us. And yet we know deep down inside that there are some things in our lives that are not right. Just like Carl said, he talked about his caustic attitude. He talked about his cynicism. He talked about his lifestyle that was full of sins, of moral nature, I assume. And he talked about that. There was hidden sin there. The same was true with this woman. And so Jesus, being the God that He was, He looked at her in verse 16, and He said, "Woman, call your husband. Now, that would have been a normal thing to do. She would have been a woman in this culture under authority. Jesus talked to her for a while, and then he would have said, if I'm going to continue to talk to you as a woman under authority, go call your husband. I'll talk to both of you at the same time. And so that went through that woman, oh my goodness, like the knife that it was. But she had her answer ready. You see, when you feel looked down upon, you not only have your defense mechanisms, but you have your dodges too. And she pulled out her favorite dodge for that question. And she said, I have no husband. Well, Jesus was not put off at all. He knew the whole story. He said, you know what, sis? He said, you're exactly right that you have no husband. He said, you got that right. In that saidest thou truly, you have no husband. He said, and this is where he got it. He said, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. He said, you are just living with this man. He's not your husband. Well, she must have sucked air. I mean, she must have just been stunned at that moment that he knew exactly what was going on in her life. Can I stop right now and tell you? Jesus knows exactly what's going on in your life. The good, the bad. He never falsely accuses. He never gets it wrong. He knows exactly what's going on. And the real issue is not what other people think. It's what Jesus knows. That's the real issue. And he dealt with that woman's hidden sin. And so she was taken aback. By this time, all the snippy was gone. And she was just in awe of Jesus. And she said, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. No joke. That didn't take a whole lot of perception, did it? He knew all about her, including the stuff that wasn't written on her forehead. And so she said, I perceive that. Well, to make a long story short, by the time Jesus got through with this woman, she was not only believing in him herself, but she had gone out and found all the men of the city. I think that's funny. See, she had had a long and checkered history with men and with husbands. There were five of those guys that she had been married to at one time or another. So she went to the men of the city and she began to witness. And she became an effective evangelist for those men. Why? Well, because they knew her. And they knew that she had never talked like that. Can you imagine how Carl's friends think when they hear him talk the way he talks today? Totally differently. That's what Jesus does. He changes men. And there is an evangelist, a messenger for everybody, but there's also a message for everybody. There are people that he can reach that I can never reach, who'll listen to him that'll never listen to me. There are people that will listen to Tony that will never listen to me. There are people that will listen to Bill that will never listen to Tony. There are people that will listen to Becky that will never listen to Carl. Because each of us has this unique message of how we came to Christ. And the clearer it is, the clearer the turn is. And by the way, that's why we featured Carl's testimony. It's because it's been such a clear-cut turn. He's turned away from that old life. Notice how hard he was on himself. I was this. He would list his sins one after another. That's because he said, look, I wanted to turn my back. I do turn my back on all those things. Sometimes we can't feature a testimony because it's not a clear turn. There has to be a complete repentance, a complete turning, a complete conversion. And so that's what's happened here. There is a message in each one of those. A story, a backstory in it. If you're here today, and when Carl was talking, though it wasn't a professional speech, God's Spirit reached out and gripped you. As my grandmother used to say, gripped you by the gizzard. If God gripped you at that moment, and you knew that was for me, I want you to understand, there is a messenger sent by God for you. And that messenger has a message. Just like Jesus had a message for this woman. He said, I want to give you hope, but I also want to tell you that you've got to face what you are. You've got to quit blaming others for looking down on you, and you've got to say, you know what? The real problem is that I have this hidden things going on. The real problem with Carl, and he said it, wasn't the hypocrites out there. The real problem with Carl was what Carl was. That was the real deal. And that's the message. God can turn you around. He was philosophically messed up. You may be morally messed up. You may be emotionally messed up. But all of us are born messed up. And we've got to understand that. And we get worse. Because we follow our own inclinations deeper and deeper into it. Now the last thing, I said this would be short, and it will. The last thing is that there was a moment when Jesus and this Samaritan woman came together there at the well in Sychar in Samaria. It was a moment. It was a moment designed by God. We call them divine appointments. It was a moment. It was the moment where God in His wisdom, Jesus in His wisdom, had planned that so that woman could be saved, so that she could come to Christ. It was a moment. Not only does Jesus have a messenger for everyone who will speak your language and help you understand the way to be saved, not only does He have a message, a particular message to give you, a way that you will understand it, that He will send through that messenger, but He has a moment. There is a moment when God speaks to you. I wonder if there might be someone here today, and you say, Pastor, I knew as soon as that guy started speaking, that was for me. I knew. I just knew. Now, I don't know. But is this your moment? If it is your moment, if you've sensed it from the start, don't just sit there. Act. Act. So that woman, there comes a point, and I love this, over in the last part of that story. She came and brought this water pot to fill it up with water. And the Bible says she left that water pot. She forgot all about that crazy thing, and she went and told the minister, she said, isn't this the Messiah? Isn't this the Messiah? She was just so convinced to believe. There was a moment. She did it. She believed. There's a moment for you. Just like that night when God was speaking to Carl so clearly, that was the moment. He knew it. He said, it was just so easy. I just believed. If this is your moment, this is your moment. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?